Morning. Welcome to By Grace Community Church. We're thankful that you're here to join us this Sunday. As Brent said earlier, we've got a lot of people out with illnesses. Our own Pastor Kevin was a little under the weather this weekend, and so we were waiting to see if his voice was going to be healed enough to preach this morning. And at 8:30, I volunteered, and now I'm wondering why. But we made a deal 10 years ago, Kevin, that I would always have something ready to go. So I started dusting it off at 8:30 this morning. So my hope and my prayer is that you'll bear with me this morning as I seek to open up God's word before us. So if you'll join me in prayer. God, we thank you that you are a faithful God, that you are a good God. God, we thank you that we have your word that is without error. And Father, while when we speak, sometimes we err, we pray, God, that as we seek to hear from you this morning, that John 14:26 would really be true, Father. The reality is that it is not our job to change people's hearts, to change people's minds. It is our job simply to declare the truth, Father, and we thank you that it is your Spirit that works to teach people all things. And so we pray, Father, that it would be your Spirit. We pray, Father, that there might be one thing that comes to us from this passage in Galatians this morning that we would hold to and that we would see as truth, Father. One thing, at least this morning, Father, that would change us and make us more like you. So we just pray these things in your Son's precious name. Amen. So this morning we're going to look at the text, Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. So if you have your Bibles, I would love for you to turn there to Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. Paul says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest too you be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load." God, again, we pray that you would be the one to teach us these things this morning, that Paul... And you are communicating us through this writing. Amen. So in verse 1, Paul says that you should be spiritual before you take on the burden of confrontation. That simply means that you should be led by the Spirit. Paul says this in Galatians chapter 5, verse 18. He says, "Be led by the Spirit." In Galatians 5, 16, he says, "Walking by the Spirit." And in Galatians 5, 22, "Bearing the fruit of the Spirit." So there's a big theme here of the Spirit being the one that is at work. The Spirit is the one doing the work here. And so this is not a reference to an upper echelon of Christianity, that there's some sort of special Christian out there that is filled with the Spirit when others are not. If you are in Christ, then you have that Spirit. And so normal Spirit-filled Christianity, and that's what spiritual people are. Spiritual people are ordinary people that are relying on the extraordinary Spirit who produces through them love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. And there's a link between that that it says in chapter 5, verse 22 and 6:1, and that's the gentleness, the meekness. You who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. The way to avoid pride as you confront a brother or a sister about sin is to act only in the power of the Spirit. You need to look to Christ lest you fall to the temptation of relying on yourself. There's a temptation to want to exalt yourself when you confront a brother or sister. Therefore, total reliance on him produces gentleness or meekness. And meekness is the twin of humility. And that's the opposite of pride and boasting. So Let me scale back for a moment just so we're on the same page. Paul is telling us that if we see someone caught in a transgression, if we see someone that is caught in sin, we're told to confront them. We're told to restore them. We're told to seek to walk alongside them, to go alongside of our brothers and sisters. And so it's the spiritual person that is going to help the erring brother or sister by doing what? By pointing them to Christ. And that's where the healing is. See, if you approach a brother or sister in pride, that doesn't help them. If you come alongside a brother or sister and you have pride in your heart and you're pointing out their errors, oh, this is what you're doing wrong. Or you still struggle with that sin? I defeated that years ago. You're not pointing them to Christ. That doesn't benefit them at all, Paul says. Because the proud person doesn't help. The proud person just draws attention to themselves. Look at me. Look at what I did. Look at what I've accomplished. Look what God has done through me. Nowhere in Scripture does it say to do that. Paul says the opposite. Walk alongside them, point them to the cross is what we need to do. Because when you point them to the cross, you're pointing them to the healing. If you come alongside a brother or sister with pride in your heart, you're doing the opposite of pointing them to healing. There's no healing in you. So a person who needs our help, a person who is sinning needs our help. And I love the language here. It says, restore him. Restore. I'm going to have to go to Greg for the Greek here, but Matthew 4:21, the same word is used for restore. And it means in 4:21, it means repairing nets that are torn. That passage is about talking about taking nets that are torn and restoring them for work again. And it's the same language that Paul uses here in Galatians 6, verse 1, restoring. So really what we need to think about when we see brothers and sisters that are struggling with sin, or let's be honest, when you're struggling in sin and you're hiding it, sometimes you need to call out to brothers and sisters. Hey, I need you to restore me. I've got this sin in my life that you don't know about. Let me share it with you so you can help restore me. So we need to be looking for this in our brothers and sisters, but we also need to be honest with them because we hide well. We're very good at hiding our sin. And you get that restoration is the goal, and it's like repairing nets that are torn so that they can be ready to be used again for that good work. Verse 2, Paul says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." If a Christian brother or sister is weighed down or menaced by some burden or threat, we need to be alert. We need to be ready to quickly do something to help. We need to come in lest they be crushed by this burden. Because that's what sin threatens to do. This sin threatens to crush us. We need to contrast this with the Pharisees' attitude. We can also learn things at Scripture by looking at what not to do in certain situations. And so here's what the Pharisees do. This is coming out of Matthew 23:4. This is the Pharisees' attitude. They bind heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with their fingers. So we need to do the opposite of that. What the Pharisees were doing is the Pharisees were heaping more and more on people's shoulders. They were increasing their burdens. They weren't walking alongside of the fellow members of their faith to restore them, to lighten their burdens. They were adding to their burdens. And Christ doesn't want us to be like that. This is a warning for us coming out of Matthew 23:4. Don't be like the Pharisees who bind heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders and do nothing to help them. So we need to not increase our brothers and sisters' burdens. We need to lighten them. So some of us wonder, I think we hit stages in our lives, and this is some personal encouragement that I have for all of us and for myself also. Even if we're set in a career and things like that, I think sometimes it's natural for us to ask questions like, is this really where God wants me to be in my life? Am I really in the place? Am I walking down the path that I'm supposed to be walking? And so I think what we need to do sometimes is step outside of our career kind of mindset or like this orientation to like what we're doing for work and things like that. And we need to ask the question, what is God calling me to do spiritually? Because if we take that question seriously, That will keep us busy. If we really take that question seriously, our days will be filled with studying Scripture. Our days will be filled with meeting with brothers and sisters, praying for one another. And so I want to encourage you that if you ask that question, here's a vocation that God could be calling you to, and this is a vocation that will bring you more joy and more satisfaction than becoming a millionaire 10 times over in your life, dedicating yourselves to business or whatever it is. It'll bring you more satisfaction to develop the extraordinary skill for detecting the burdens of others. And not just detecting the burdens of others, but devoting yourselves to lightening those burdens. What a calling that is. There's a weight to that. It's almost a burden to lightening burdens, right? And so our prayer at By Grace is that we would be men and women that do that, that we would have men and women in our church. And we do, y'all. But we want to keep encouraging that to cultivate, that it would spread more in our kingdom groups, in our Titus 2 groups, in our monthly gatherings that the men and the women have. Our goal, our hope, and our prayer, I should say, is that we would continue to cultivate such an ethos of grace, is a language that we use sometimes, that we would be bearing one another's burdens and making them lighter. Now, in verse 2, I want to point out, he says, so fulfill the law of Christ. And what I want to point out is that every command in the law of Christ is a call to faith. And what I mean, and I'm going to throw some verses at you, so try to follow this train of thought. Through faith, God supplies the Spirit. That's clear in Galatians 3, verse 5. Through faith, God supplies the Spirit. And then he goes on to say, through the Spirit, we produce the fruit of love. In Galatians 5:22, he says that. So God supplies the faith of the Spirit of Christ. The faith produces the fruit of love. And through love, we fulfill the law of Christ. In Galatians 6:2. So it's all God. It's all the Spirit doing this in us. Therefore, if you trust in him, you fulfill the law of Christ. You fulfill the law of love. And you will be devoted to lifting the burdens of others. Now, let's talk about definitions for a moment. Because usually when we think about burdens, we think about things like sickness, we think about unemployment, we think about loss of loved ones, we think about loneliness, we think about rejection. These are usually things, and that's not wrong. Those things are burdens. Losing a job can be a burden. Losing, having the loss of a loved one, all right? Loneliness, unemployment, these are all burdens. But if we look closely at verse 1, Paul is going to increase that definition a little bit, and he talks about sin, or trespasses, if you will, as being burdens. So Paul shows us in verse 1 that burdens also include trespasses. This is a biblical definition of a burden. Anything that threatens to crush the joy of our faith. A burden is anything that threatens to crush the joy of our faith. So losing the loss of, like, losing a loved one can be that. That can threaten to crush our joy. God, why did you take so-and-so at such an early age? Why do we experience this loss of life? This is a burden. And that does, that threatens to crush our joy in Christ. It is a threat. So tragedies threaten to make us doubt God's goodness, but so does sin. Sin is a burden. Sin threatens oftentimes to drag us into guilt and judgment. So think about that. Think about yourself first. We have sin in our lives. And in a little bit, we're going to take communion. And Paul encourages us to examine ourselves prior to coming to the table. So we need to be doing this daily, examining ourselves, because that's what sin does. Sin is a burden that threatens to crush your joy in Christ. It threatens to crush you, the joy of our faith, to drag us into this guilt and this judgment. So nobody who lives by the law of Christ and in the power of Christ can say this: that's not my business. I don't have to add that to my burden. It's his problem, not mine. And that's a temptation from the enemy. If we're honest, when we see a brother and a sister in sin, oftentimes I think sinfully our first inclination is to say, maybe somebody else will get them. Maybe somebody else can help with that. I'm not in a place spiritually where I can really step in and help. We don't want to have an atmosphere of silence and neglect. We do not want to have an atmosphere of silence and neglect. Our job, according to verse 1, is to admonish, to rebuke, to warn one another about attitudes and habits and plans which are wrong, and to then point each other to the great healer, the redeemer, the sanctifier, our Savior. That's what we want to have at By Grace. That's what we desire for. That's what I want. Sometimes the enemy convinces me that I don't want that. I don't want to let anybody know about this sin because I really don't want them to point it out. I don't want people to know that I struggle with this. But deep down in the heart of my hearts, I want my brothers and sisters to come alongside of me. I want them to admonish me. I want them to point me, hold me accountable. We need that for our growth. And that's the type of family that we want to belong to, one that loves each other so much that we can't look away. And that's what it's done. We don't look away because we love one another. We don't want to have brothers and sisters that fall into the hardness of habits of sin. We want to seek to bear one another's burdens. Not to punish people. Not to gossip about them. Martin Luther says this: if Christ did not punish them, what right do we have to do it? Let me say that again. If Christ did not punish them, what right do we have to do it? Now, everything else that we're going to see this morning in Galatians 1 through 5 is a warning against the danger of pride in those of us who take on the burden of correcting and restoring a fellow believer. So I hope that thus far in this message that we're all on the same page and seeing that this is a holy calling that we have to walk alongside of our brothers and sisters. And it's a good thing. It's not to be seen as something that we should drag our feet about or something that we should grumble about, but it's something that we should do joyfully. Now, there's a weightiness and there's a heaviness to it. And there's a commitment to walking alongside of brothers and sisters that are entangled and snared in sin. But what Paul is going to do in these next few verses is he's going to warn us about doing this arrogantly. Now, please bear with me because some of these concepts are tough to wrestle with and grapple. And so my prayer is that, ultimately my prayer is that you hear from God, not me. So we need to walk alongside of one another. But how do we do that? Because there's a huge warning here about pride. And so I hope that you see this. 1 Corinthians 4:7 says this: what do you have that you did not receive? And if you received it, why do you boast as though it were not a gift? So everything we have is a gift from God. Everything. The battle against pride and self-exaltation in our hearts is a battle for joy. And so we need to be battling pride as we walk along our brothers and sisters. Verse 3 makes it more clear. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Let me say that again. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. This is the most radical attack on pride in the passage. And it's given as a ground for the basis of going back to verse 1. How are we to restore them? With a spirit of gentleness, with a spirit of meekness. Paul says, don't go in guns blazing. This is how holy I am. Get your life right. We need to come in with gentleness and with meekness. One time, there was a dear brother of mine that was ensnared in some sin and was in counseling. And I was given permission by him to speak with the counselor. And so I would weekly call the counselor for accountability to see how the things were going and stuff, and we would meet together weekly. And one time I was talking with the counselor, and one of the things they said is, you need to share more of your sin with him. I said, what do you mean? And he said, this guy thinks that you have it all together. Oh, no. And I don't think that I was necessarily doing it intentionally, but as I was trying to come alongside of this brother, one of the mistakes that I was making was, I've got to look holy to this guy so that I can be some sort of model for him to follow. As if Christ isn't enough. That there's something that I can add to the cross. And so that stung in a good way. And so I want to encourage you that as you walk alongside your brothers and sisters, you don't come forward to them in pride and arrogance of, oh yeah, I've got my life together. Look at everything that I've accomplished. Look at all this sin that I've conquered. Yes, I used to struggle with that, but that was years ago. I've moved on to holier struggles. Really? But that's our attitude sometimes. Sometimes we approach people like that. But what we need to do is we need to come alongside of them and say, brother, sister, I am just as broken as you. So we need to come with gentleness and meekness. For if anyone thinks that he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Paul says that your problem is that you think that you're something and you're nothing. It's not this. Sometimes I think we try to play this game of like, oh, well, I'm not going to go try to restore them because I'm not holy enough. I think most of the time what we do is we go to them and it's like, we're so holy, like, let me just fix you. You can't say either thing. You can't. If you're in Christ, you can't say either thing. You can't say, oh my gosh, I still struggle with that, so I can't walk alongside my brother because then I'll be a hypocrite. You can't say that. You got to go alongside him and say, hey, I'm stuck in that sin too. Let's work together. Let's seek God's face together in this. And so, apart from the special grace of God, we amount to a moral zero because of our sinfulness. So, if you're feeling puffed up, the Bible has a lot to say about that. Romans 7:18 says, there dwells in me, that is in my flesh, no good thing. Jesus says in John 15:5, apart from me, you can do nothing. 1 Corinthians 3:7, Paul says, neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. So don't get puffed up because a brother falls lower than you. Sometimes when we see other people struggling, we kind of like, man, maybe I'm not that bad. Maybe I'm a little holier than I thought I was. Paul says, stop feeding your pride by comparing yourselves to those who sin. Because that's not the measurement. The measurement isn't how do I measure up against my brother or my sister. That's not the measurement. The standard is Christ. Don't measure your moral achievements by those of others. Measure them and test them by the laws of Christ. Then whatever there is in you to boast about will not be owing to another's inferiority. So he talks about boasting in verse 4. He says, let each one of us test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. So some things that we need to point out here. Can we boast in anything in and of ourselves? No. Paul says in, if you read 10 verses further in Galatians 6, he says, far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 1:31, he says, let him who boasts boast in the Lord. Romans 15 says, in Christ Jesus I have a reason for boasting in the things pertaining to God. For I will not presume to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me. So the cross of Christ and the work of his Spirit in our hearts should evaporate all of the pride out of our boasting. We can boast, but only in Christ. And we should be transformed into joyful exaltation in what God has done through us. Verse 5, for each will have to bear his own load. Is this a contradiction to verse 2? Verse 2 says, bear one another's burdens. But verse 5 says, each will bear his own load. So there's no contradictions here. If it appears that there's contradictions, you need to dig deeper. This is all God's word. Sometimes you get in, you know, debates with people and things like that about Scripture, and it's like, well, you know, there's contradictions in the Bible. Well, you just don't understand what it's really saying. A lot of times I don't understand what it's saying. So I call Kevin. Are these verses contradicting one another? And I know the answer is no. But I need to be, you know, taught. Why not? So is there a contradiction here? Absolutely not. There's not a contradiction because there's no error in Scripture. We know that Scripture is without error because it's God's word breathed out. That's clear in 2 Timothy. So for each will have to bear his own load. It means don't try to lighten your load, the load of your sin, by comparing yourself to a fallen brother or sister. Do you see what that means? The standard is not, I'm comparing my sin to your sin, and if you're worse than me, then my burden is somehow lighter. That is, if when judgment comes, that I'm going to be measured by someone else's standard. Is that making sense? I am going to be measured against Christ. My sin is mine. Your sin is yours. Now, what's the beautiful thing about the gospel of Christ? We are invited to give that sin over. He takes that sin from us. And so, when the final assessment comes, we are all going to be measured by the law of Christ. It's not like saying, you know, oh, my sin is not that bad because I'm not as bad off as that person. All sin results in the same penalty. It's death. Death is the penalty of sin. And so no one will make their load lighter by saying, oh, well, that person's worse than me, so maybe I'm not that bad off. You will be measured by Christ's law. You will be measured by his holiness. But the gospel is, and this is what I want us to cling to this morning, the gospel is that you can lay your sins down at the cross. There is so much language in Scripture where it talks about Christ taking on our burdens. And so that's what our hope and that our prayer is that the end of the story is not we bear our own loads, but that we can lay that at the foot of the cross. And so our hope and our prayer and encouragement when we look at this is that you would walk alongside of your brothers and sisters, but you would not do it in pride and arrogance, that you would keep in mind, based on the cross, who you are, and that you are a sinner in need of God's saving grace. And so walk alongside your brothers and sisters, encourage them, share with them what Christ has done in your life so that we can bear one another's burdens. Let's pray. Father, forgive us for the pride of our hearts that keeps us from meekly and lovingly admonishing and restoring each other when we sin. Father, would you transform our church into a place, into a people that we would be a people who hate sin, and that our love for sinners would create a community of purity and peace and joy, Father. Would we love our brothers and sisters that are caught in sin? And we would love them the way, Father, that you love us. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.